Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks.
Get off my shit.
ConfessionsOfAMovieSnob.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Aaron, and with me is...
And I'm Ethan.
And he is Ethan. Yay, Ethan is here. Ethan is podcasting along.
Stepping all over you there.
Stepping all over me, but it's okay. I'm used to it. I am used to it. I am a Democrat in Kansas. Zing. Look at that. I'm being topical. But we're not going to be topical for the rest of the night, because what we are is we are a funky little podcasty thingy where we like talking about movies and other kinds of things that makes us all kinds of excited. We are Confessions of a Movie Snob, part of a bigger, greater, awesomer network known as the Nerdvana Network, which at this point also includes Ethan's other podcast, Gamers Haven podcast with episode 100, which was probably the best edited episode of the history of their show. It was badass. It was edited really well. That'll go up at some point. And then there's Ethan's blog, yes. Not podcast, blog, Why Not Write, where Ethan writes, because why not? Which is a big thing exactly. For our podcast. And then I just seem to think everything's a podcast. Our blog, our network. And then there's my blog on said network, Project Uncool, where I just, try to document my path into being just a little bit cooler person. Just yesterday, I threw up a piece that I'm actually going to be discussing a little bit more at length tonight on tonight's show. What else am I missing about the Nerdvana Network, Ethan?
Oh, that it's just sort of a conglomeration of, I think, a bunch of cool people, really. We've got some stuff on the horizon as far as interviews that we're going to be putting out and some new shows coming up and new blogs here and there. So it's going to be really cool. I think that's otherwise you hit the nail on the head with all that.
Yay me. But tonight we have a fun little episode that we're going to get into the who's and the what's of. When we actually talk our main topic discussion, but tonight's going to be what we're terming best movie deaths. It should be a fun discussion. I'm actually kind of like feeling this whole podcast. You know, I said 100 times before that I go through, phases, whatever with the podcast. Sometimes I'm really into it, sometimes I'm not. And lately I've been really into it, and I've been kind of enjoying like doing the, we're not just talking a list of movies, we're talking about things about movies. Like we did movie posters mm-hmm. last week, and I had a blast with that. So I wanted to find something to where you weren't talking, specific movies, but just specific things about movies. And I thought, our favorite or most memorable or whatever movie deaths would be some way to do that. So, but before we get into any of that, we do have a little segment we like to call Geekly Happenings when we talk news relevant to us geeks. Are we going to open up with happy or sad tonight, Ethan?
Let's open up with happy.
Let's open up with happy. Okay, opening up with happy, why don't we talk about some trailers? Opening up with trailers, the first thing I want to talk about is the Man of Steel trailer. And mm-hmm. I believe...
Yep, I managed to see that one.
Did that one drop today? Or so I know I watched it today. I'm not really sure when it came out.
No, I watched it. I watched it yesterday. I think it dropped yesterday.
Yep, I watched it today. And holy crap, Superman punches stuff. Go figure.
I know.
Yeah.
And like moves at super speed and
This is actually the first trailer for this that didn't like worry the shit out of me. I got to say that my reservations aren't gone, but they're a little bit satiated today. By looking at that, because it does look like there's going to be some funny parts and some, action moments and, some badass moments, and it's not just going to be like a Superman Holocaust flick. That's good. I think my favorite part in the trailer, Ethan, and, maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but it was when, what's Superman's mom's name? I don't remember her name. Mrs. Man.
His Earth Mom or his...
Superman, his
Earth Mom or...
Jor-El's wife.
Oh, Jor-El's wife,
whatever the hell her
name is. I want to say it's Lara.
Okay, Lara L. That sounds right. Yeah, when Lara L. says to, is saying to Jor-El, you know, he's going to be an outcast. They're going to kill him. And Jor-El's just like, how? He's going to be a god on this. I'm overemphasizing it because he's just like, how? But I'm just, I heard it as, how in the hell is he going to do, how are they going to do that? This dude's a, that was neat to see. We actually finally got to see some dialogue from Michael Shannon as General Zod. And I liked it because he's all like yelling, which is something that Michael Sheen does so well. He's a good yeller. So, I'm a little bit more happy about this one. I mean, you like it as much as me, Ethan?
I did. He does look like he's going to be chewing the scenery a little bit, but, General Zod can do that.
Shannon,
it looks...
Yes, Michael Shannon lives off of a diet of pure scenery.
Yes, and it looks like a genuinely interesting looking movie. I mean, it looks like it's got some good family stuff, some good drama, but it also some humor, and then it also looks like it's got that action that we desperately have been wanting from a Superman movie. As in moving at super speed, punching things, actually punching things. Oh my God, it's that's a revelation. There's actually punching in a Superman film.
I was talking to a friend about this earlier today, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. And, you know, I said what I just said about how it's like the first Man of Steel trailer that I was all like, excited about. And she's all like, what was wrong with the other ones? I'm like, they look boring. You know, they looked like emo Superman. She's like, well, what if he is emo? I'm like, I don't care if he's emo. I want to see him punching stuff. I mean, I've seen the emo Superman movie a couple of times now, and, I don't need it. Now I need, the guy that's beating the shit out of everything. And so I hope that we get that movie, but I'm okay with a little bit of emo because I guess it could suck to be super. I mean, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, other trailers.
I'm just hoping they don't spend, 2 hours just basically reiterating his origin again.
You're an alien.
And,
on Earth.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, but hey, good. As far as I'm concerned, I hope it rocks my dick off. I hope it's awesome. But
I think the suit looks good, and I think it. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be seeing it.
That stuff about the S being hope, is that a comic book thing or is that like a Zack Snyder thing?
It rings a bell from the comics, honestly. So it might very well be.
I don't know. I'm not crying.
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
Other trailers. Hunger Games Catching Fire trailer came out, and it looks like more of the Hunger Games. I mean, I think you liked those a little bit more than I did. I didn't hate them. I just they didn't really blow my skirt up too much. So
yeah, I like the movies. I like the movie, and I like the books are pretty good, and not even pretty good. They're really good. The second book is probably my favorite of the three books. And as I understand it, are they splitting the second movie into two? Sounds, or is that what they're doing in the third? Right. I can't remember. I've heard a lot. So.
Yeah. I know though. I was watching it. Yeah. I was watching the trailer and with mild interest. I mean, I'm certainly not against them. They're just not my favorite things in the world. And I'm sitting there the whole time saying, I'm going to lose my shit if they do, with Academy Award winner, Jennifer Lawrence. I'm like, yeah, because that's what this bazillion-jillion-dollar franchise needs is, some Oscar clout.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they didn't do that. I guess the other trailer I saw was the new Star Trek Into Darkness trailer. More of the same, honestly. But, the same's good. So
I haven't actually watched that one yet.
Yeah, more of the same. More stuff with Benedict Cumberbatch eating some scenery and, Chris Pine looking like a badass and, all the tropes that we're coming to expect from that new franchise. So it's good stuff.
I don't know if I'd say Benedict Cumberbatch eats scenery. I think he just puts scenery in its place and calls it a bitch.
In that movie, in the trailer so far, it looks like he eats it, but... In Sherlock, you're right. He's all like, scenery, get your ass over there and shut up. But, in this case, it looks like he might just
sit down, shut up, and look pretty.
Yeah. God damn it. Listen to my cheekbones. Yeah, that's
exactly.
I'm looking forward to this. I keep telling people I think that this movie is going to make Benedict Cumberbatch the biggest star in the world. And kind of hope it happens. Kind of hope I don't, because I just want Sherlock for the rest of my life. I want
the movie to become a huge star.
I think he is.
That's going to hurt Sherlock.
Yeah.
Because he won't be able to do it.
He has, though, he has already said that there is going to be a third season and a fourth season. Did you know that?
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we're definitely getting two more seasons, and he said that he is going to prioritize Sherlock in his career. So that I'm like, fuck yeah. I mean, I was just like pumping my fist at that one. So I was pretty happy. I was pretty happy to see that. I guess now we got to move on to the stuff that sucks.
And, I suppose.
Yeah. This is one that isn't going to mean a lot to a whole lot of people, although I am learning it means a lot more than I expected it to. I expected it to a lot of people, but it's the death of actor Richard LaPrentier, but actually it's we've been saying it wrong all of our lives, as it turns out. I just had it. I was just looking at it. It was LaPrentier is what it is.
LaPrentier. Okay.
And this is, saying it correctly or incorrectly, most people aren't going to know who that is. But who he is he's an actor from the original Star Wars movie. He played Admiral Mahdi. Is it Admiral? Yeah, Admiral Mahdi. I'm looking at
his actual Admiral Mahdi
right now. Yeah, he's a guy like I find, that Darth Vader chokes and he's like, I find your lack of faith disturbing. And great fucking scene. Really memorable scene. And so the thing about this guy's death is he kind of has his place in, Ethan and I's group of friends. I've met the guy several times. Ethan's met him at least once that I know of. And
twice. I actually met him again at Planet Comic Con, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Really? Cool.
But yeah.
He's and the funny thing about it is, like, I met him at... I'm going to talk about Star Wars Celebration 2 in a moment, and I met him at maybe some sort of Kansas City Comic Con. I know I've met him at least three times, and there's the story of you and Anthony meeting him at Gen Con, I believe it was, when you joined the cult of LaPrentier, when you just realized how much ass he kicked. I mean, tell that story if you can remember much of it.
When I met him, it was probably about 10 years ago at Gen Con, and I believe it was the first year Gen Con was in Indianapolis. And Anthony and I were standing there chatting with the guy, and he was not a lot of people, lining up to get his autograph, which was unfortunate. And because we just sat there and we sort of chatted with him a bit. And A girl walked by in a chainmail bikini. Now, if you've ever been to especially a game convention, there are lots of girls running around in chainmail bikinis. But at a game con, that not always are they girls who should be wearing chainmail bikinis.
Ah,
well, this lady was one of them that should be wearing a chainmail bikini, and he said, "Give that girl a can of WD-40 and send her to my room." Mm-hmm. And this is a guy, I guess at the time he was 50 something, he was just a really fun, entertaining guy. You could tell he really liked the fans, and he had no problems, not really very full of himself, and was very easygoing and liked to do pictures with people. And it was a lot of fun sort of sitting there and chatting with the guy. And he's one of those people that not everyone's going to recognize, obviously. And but the fans of Star Wars will immediately know who he is, that type of thing. So it was pretty cool to meet him, and it's a shame that he's gone.
Yeah, really kind of is. My meeting with him, it was after this point, after that point, because you guys liked the guy so much, you bought me a fucking an autographed figure of him, because you're like, Aaron's gonna love this guy, because Aaron loves Star Wars, Aaron Star. That's just the way it is. And I ended up meeting him a few years later at the Star Wars Celebration 2. And the funny thing about it is, I think I've talked a little bit about when I met Julian Glover. Yeah, but I met Julian Glover, and I was getting his autograph for a friend. He was a fucking dickhead. I wanted to punch him in the face, and he literally waved me off after he signed my thing for him, and I didn't say anything to him.
So he was just a fucking jerk off. And then they had like all the all like the VIPs in like a VIP area, and you could walk up, you know, give them your ticket and get a signature. And I was standing in line with Jeff, if you remember, like way back in the day, he did the video pits with us. But I was standing in line with him, mm-hmm. and we were in line for the David Prowse, and you know, so. This is a long ass line, and there's, you know, other people. There's like, you know, LaPrentier and, you know, Peter Diamond and, you know, all these people. They had like, I mean, two or three deep. And like, there's nobody at poor LaPrentier's booth. But he's sitting there. He's, he's looking at, you know, like dozens of people, if not more, that don't want to give him their money. And he's talking to them as they get by. And, you know, we get up to him, and he's all like, you know, oh, I see. So you're going to stand right in front of my booth. And this is all in jest. He's having fun with us. He's all like, mm-hmm. you're going to stand here in front of my booth and go give money to this guy that choked me. Are you the kind of guy that videotapes his wife's childbirth too? And I just started laughing, and I turned around and I gave him my ticket and had him sign an 8x10. Cause I'm like, you know, fuck David Prowse at this point. This guy's awesome. And it sucked. He was, you know, 66 years old, and you know, he's somebody that meant a lot to our little group of people. But what was kind of neat is like when you know, news of this came out, I mean, this unfortunately this is no, you know, it's not like, you know, Harrison Ford died, you know, just a guy that only like a certain amount of people know. But it turns out the dude is kind of a media a con darling. I mean, people fucking loved this guy, and I thought he was our little secret, but apparently not. I mean, everybody seemed to like him, and it's too bad. So, you know, it made my signed Admiral Motti figure mean a little bit more to me. I dug it out. It's on my desk now, and it's too bad, but, you know, I was happy to meet him. He was a great guy. He was a great guy, you know, and fucking Julian Glover could have ruined the whole, you know, Star Wars actor thing for me, but he didn't, and, you know, LaPrentier like showed me that it was, you know, that, you know, they're like anybody else. Some people are cool, some people aren't, and he made it an awesome experience for me. So I'm gonna miss him. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
So
he was, and you know, when I saw the two times I saw him, especially at cons, he was nothing but smiles and nothing but nice to everyone who was coming up to him. So it's a real shame that he is now gone. And I have an autographed picture of him, and it's the still from the scene where he's being choked. And it was, I remember on the one he did for me, it's packed away right now because I'm in the middle of moving, but, he said, don't make my mistake, on it. And, it was just a lot of fun. And I remember standing around talking to him, and he was, he said, yeah, there was this guy who came by. And you know, people are saying, you know, Motti lives, and he said they wanted to do a comic book about Admiral Motti or something, about how he survived the Death Star explosion, about how the guy who came to Moff Tarkin to say, hey, you know, we've analyzed their attacks, sir, and there is a danger, and the Moff Tarkin just says, evacuate and on moments of triumph.
You greatly overestimate their chances. Fucking Peter Cushing. I gotta love
exactly. Oh yeah. And he said, well, their idea was that guy was one of Admiral Motti's men, and so he went to Admiral Motti after that, and they got the hell out. He got them the hell off the ship before it exploded. So that would have been fun to have seen, but yeah. It's too bad, and you know, it's just sad to see him go.
Yeah. So you know, people fucking love this guy, and I'm glad to see that. You know, I mean. It was kind of cool that he was kind of our little secret, you know, at least our little group of friends secret, but I'm glad that he made as many people happy as he did. So this sucks. And he's also in other shit, but this is obviously his big thing. Like, I know he was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and he was in, oh God, I want to say he might have been in, The Last Crusade. I mean, he's been in some stuff, but you know, he's going to be forever known as Motti. I'm sitting here. I got my, my Power of the Force Admiral Motti figure signed, looking right at it. It's in my greedy little paw right now. It says, Aaron, the Force works. Richard LaParmentier, you know, Motti. And it's a cool fucking figure, and it's a neat thing to have on my wall. It's a neat thing to have on my wall. But before we move into our little... that's pretty much it for news, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Okay. Okay. Before we get into our talk about our favorite movie, Des, I do have something I want to talk about, and I'm gonna maybe tear a page out of the Gamers Haven podcast book, and I want to do what they would call a rant. Okay. You know, it's like they have their rant section, their rave section. You know, they'll sit there and they'll go through their gaming books or whatever, like on the normal sections, and they'll be like, okay, this worked because of this, that, so on, so forth, and they actually like get into the nuts and bolts of why it works, why it doesn't work. Rant and the rave is all like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome, or holy shit, this fucking blows, and you know, it's just like an impassioned plea, and I'm gonna make an impassioned plea right now. And it's going to be a partial apology. It's going to be a partial finger waving at people. The partial apology is because I'm going to be yelling about something that I've been accused of doing myself, and that is going to be belittling and poo pooing away the whole concept of 3D. Now, I went and saw Jurassic Park 3D last week. Rachel had not seen it in the theater because she was young enough to where her mom said it was too scary, and so she could not go get off my lawn. Okay, so whatever. So we went to go see Jurassic Park 3D. I'm all right with that. I saw Jurassic Park when it was in the theater a bunch of times. You know, I owned it on VHS, I owned it on DVD. I don't quite have the Blu-ray yet, but I've seen this movie a zillion, billion, trillion fucking times, and I think Ethan has too. And I gotta say that this movie blew my fucking mind in 3D. It blew my mind, and I've seen this movie a bunch, and that's my whole point, is I'm sitting there watching this movie. I've seen a bunch, you know. I could have watched the damn thing for free, and I'm sitting there watching it in IMAX 3D, and I paid whatever an IMAX 3D ticket cost, you know, 17, 18 bucks, and I was happy about it. And I think my rant here is coming down to the whole idea of, you know, there's that, and I'm going to start getting into something, I think, is that people that just say, I don't like 3D because, you know, they just stick it on there to make the tickets cost more money and blah, 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 and I want our I think that's fucking boring. It's so goddamn boring to say, and I honestly hate it when people say that I don't want to see 3D because blah, 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 and I don't think that anybody should use it. To me, that's fucking ridiculous. That is denying a tool to an artist. So that shows that they do not understand filmmaking, they do not understand visuals, and they do not understand the artistic process. They just want to shit on an idea. And my apology to this rant comes through in the thing of, I have never been dismissive of 3D. I think I've said before that I'd like to see it. You know, I don't want to quite see it become, you know, the everyday thing, and I stand on that. But I think that my biggest dismissal is, and I say, I'm just not interested in post-conversion 3D. And seeing The Phantom Menace in post-conversion 3D, I kind of softened on that. You know, I'm like, okay, it can be done well. Now, Jurassic Park, on the other hand, said, Aaron, you're being a fucking idiot, because the 3D on this was goddamn amazing. And the scene I want to talk about is the scene in the – it's the scene – in the movie, you remember the part where the T-Rex attacks the Jeep, and you know the kid runs off, and the T-Rex ends up knocking the Jeep off of the cliff or whatever, and it falls into a tree, and then Grant climbs up into it, and you know that scene, and he's helping Timmy get out of the tree, right? And you know, as they're climbing down the tree, the Jeep starts to fall, and so they're climbing really quickly, and there's like that scene where the truck almost hits Grant, but it like stops because of that branch. Okay, now that scene was goddamn incredible in 3D, and it occurs to me that it was goddamn incredible in a way that it would have never been had it been shot in 3D, because you know there's an obvious cinematography going on with any 3D scene. You want your principles in the foreground, and you want your action, your beat, your 3D element in the background. This scene, because of the way that was filmed in 2D, they had to do it the other way around, to where the truck falling and the branches and shit like that were actually the element. They were actually the background, and the principles were the 3D element, and it was really fucking neat. It's really hard to explain unless you see it, because you know, because it it took like the principal characters, you know, and it made them the action of the scene instead of it being, you know, an out of focus truck or a tree branch or this or that. And it was really fucking neat, and it would have never happened. If this scene was filmed in 3D, it would have been done the other way around, and rightfully so. But because of the fact that they decided they wanted to give this the 3D polish for the 20-year anniversary, and they had to get, you know, and they had to get artists to know what they're doing and look at every scene individually and see what makes it work. And that's the problem here with saying, you know, fuck 3D and fuck, you know, post-production 3D. It's like anything else in this world. It's like it's any like any project in this world, any, you know, any cleaning job, any mechanic thing, any piece of art, it all comes down to the person doing it. You need talent, absolutely, but there's no reason whatsoever to say, you know, 3D is bad on principle, and especially 3D is bad, post-conversion 3D is also bad on principle, because this movie proved to me that it can be done, it can be done well. I long ago said that the Pixar short Day and Night completely legitimized 3D for me, because it showed 3D to me in a way that I thought was interesting, unique, and it told a different story than what could have been told in 2D. I am now going to say that Jurassic Park in post-production 3D 100% completely justifies the post-production, or excuse me, the post-3D conversion. That's my rant on that. Go see this movie. It was fucking incredible. I don't care if you've seen it 20 times. It's worth the $18 ticket. So that's my rant.
Good to know. Beth and I will be seeing it on Sunday.
She's a whippersnapper ankle biter too. She never saw it in theater, right?
No, she never did see it in theaters.
Yeah. We married the youngins, huh?
Mm-hmm. We did marry the youngins.
Yeah, but
Robin from the Cradle.
Robin from the Cradle. Yeah, dog. But yeah, I thought it was incredible and totally worth the effort to go see it. Totally worth the extra money. And it's fascinating. I found it fascinating if you're familiar with the movie, which I am, because there's all these little scenes that you never give a second's thought to, you know, in 2D. But because of what they were forced to do in the 3D, it, you know, just it was a different thing. Like is that scene with the Velociraptor when it's crawling around in the dinosaur room and all the genetic code is, you know, shining on it. It's a neat looking scene in 2D, mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but in 3D it looked really neat because you could see all the different light and all the different angles. Just cool. I absolutely could not recommend this more. Check it out. And 3D is a tool. Use it. Don't deny anybody a tool. Otherwise, then you're just being a contrarian asshole. I'm sorry. And okay.
Fair enough.
With that being said, we are going to be moving on to our main topic discussion. We're going to be talking about our favorite deaths in movie history, favorite movie deaths. Now, before we get into that, I like to pride ourselves. I like to pride ourselves on the fact that I think that we have the smartest, the most articulate, the hippest, most jivest, you know, awesomest, best-looking fans in the world. So everybody that listens to us is really, 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 really smart. And so, you know, this isn't going to be for them. But in case there is that fucking idiot that, like, slipped his way through here, I'm going to have to just make it said that Ethan and I talking about movie deaths is not going to be advocating violence. I, for one, am disgusted about what just happened today in Congress with the passing of the gun laws thing. I want everybody to live a rich, full life, you know, die at 100 of natural causes and stuff like that. Violence is a bad thing. Now, that being said, there can be some really fucking cool movie deaths. And so, you know, that's the way I wanted to approach this is, obviously, Ethan, wait a minute, I was speaking for you. Do you condone violence?
Not all the time.
Not all the time. But yeah, I mean, there's something, I did have somebody say, do you really think that this is appropriate, given what just happened in Boston? And I'm like, yeah, I can kind of get your point, but if we don't do this, we're letting the terrorists win. So we're just going to be talking about some cool-ass movie deaths in film history.
Yeah.
I had fun making this list. I don't know about Ethan because, you know, it's like any list. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, you know, make a list of your favorite movie deaths, the best movie deaths. You end up having to make your own criteria about what that means. I found myself looking and saying, you know, I didn't really want to use, like, any... I wanted to get fun ones, mostly, for the most part. I didn't want to get any that I really broke my heart, or, oh, that really sucks because a kid died, or, you know, this is really relevant because this is, you know, a biopic and this person really died, because that's not really what I want to get at here. It, you know, it's because, you know, you can have these really interesting characters that you can come to love, you can come to hate, that, you know,
You get to the point where you just stand up and pump your fucking fist at the idea of, you know, of these people dying. And because it's in a, you know, and because it's in a movie, you can really hope that, you know, that it really hurts because it's not real and it's that release. How did this one go for you, Ethan?
There are a lot of deaths in movies. Yes. Let me tell you. I sat down to sort of to mull through this list, and I started just generating a long list of stuff. It's like, oh yeah, that death was cool. That death was pretty neat. And finding there are different ways you can handle a death in a movie. It can be just big and spectacular, or it could be poignant. It could have real deep meaning, or it can be very offhanded. I mean, you could go the silly route and say, okay, well, you know, when you know John Matrix killed Bennett with the steam pipe thing in Commando, that was really cool death. And but then you could go a different route and say, oh, there's the death in Braveheart. You know, it's like, you know, you want to really, especially with things nowadays, is you have a or especially in the last couple days with events as they've been, is really, do you want deaths to be meaningless or have some sort of meaning or have some sort of real driving element to the plot? And so I sat down and started figuring it out, and really it came to me that I have sort of a mix of them, but ultimately it's just the deaths that actually, you know, really resonate here and there, and that have a actual consequence or actually have a deep meaning to the movie.
Not me.
Are very
You know, I got
what's that?
I said not, that's not how it's going to work with me. I'm looking at my list and I don't have a single one that I would consider. Almost all of mine are funny or fucked up. None of them are like William Wallace. You know, I don't have any of those in there. I mean,
sure.
I got some fucked up ones. I got some funny ones. I got some cool ones, but and I have a couple of them that resonated with me at the time that the movies came out, but you know, that wasn't really what I was trying to do, you know, because you know, I mean, there's like the whole idea of, you know, movies are a release. And so you can go in and, you know, fucking hating Hans Gruber and love it when he fucking falls to his death in a movie and that kind of thing. So, you know, I did want to approach this with that detached point of view to where, you know, I can, you know, totally root for this because it isn't real. And, you know, so, you know, I really was trying not to go for like, you know, the really deep ones, but there are some ones that aren't, you know, I mean, I have some that I would like the ones that I would call more the fucked up ones that, like, for whatever reason, you know, just getting the skeevies. But a lot of these are just all like, you know, kind of giggly moments because it was kind of funny what happened.
Sure.
So, what do you say we just start talking about some fucking people that died good, Ethan? What's your number six?
All right. Well, My jadedness and my animosity towards the film series aside, my number six is Boromir from the Fellowship of the Ring. As you put it in the movie, what's that?
Damn near made my list. I mean, this would be in my top 15 without a doubt. Almost made my list. But,
yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right.
But it's, of course, it's played by Sean Bean, and I remember you putting it as this thing of, you know, yes, he goes after the ring, and then shortly thereafter, a Uruk-hai puts three tree trunks through him, you know?
Fucking arrows.
And I remember reading the book. In the book, it's, you know, he's pretty much peppered with arrows, but in the movie, they choose to just do these three just solid tree trunk arrows through him, and I love how Sean Bean sort of plays it with this, you know, I realize what I've done and I'm trying to redeem myself, even though I'm dying. I'm going to give every last ounce of my strength to try to do the right thing now. And it was a very cool death. It was very, I think it really had this really cool driving element to that just little scene there. And right after that, when Aragorn kills that Uruk-hai, there's Lurks. That fist pump moment Lurks. Where you're like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. Chops his fucking, that was actually, I mean, it was like 4 seconds, but it was a cool fight. I like it when he throws that shield at Aragorn and pins him to a tree, and then, you know, he's about ready to chop his head. You know, cool little fight. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely a cool fight, and just that bit in the front is sort of like, you know, looking at it as a tabletop gamer or as in D&D, you know, it's like you never like to have your characters die, but if you have a character die and he dies like that, that's okay. You can walk away and live with that death. And it's one that immediately came to mind when you said, "Hey, let's do our let's do movie deaths," and I had to talk Boromir out of Fellowship. So
good one. Yeah, like I said, I was quite surprised that it occurred to me, because I think that you might have like a hair bit more animosity in you towards the Lord of the Rings than I do, but I'm certainly not a huge fan, and The Hobbit does piss me off. I've seen it again since it came out on DVD, and boy, that movie makes me mad. It doesn't make
sense. I like Fellowship. I could probably sit down and watch Fellowship without a problem.
Yeah, I did, actually.
But, but the beyond that, I'm just sort of like, yeah, okay, I'm whatever.
Oh, don't get me wrong. They all got like cool fucking moments all the way through them, but it's a journey that I don't think is worth the sightseeing, so to speak. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So at this point, we're gonna be talking about my number five. My number six. My number six is. Yeah, it's the only character on this list that is that's not a named character. That's it's a mook, so to speak. And so I had to figure out a way. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying. Yeah, it's a mook. It's not a named character, and so I had to figure out a way. Like, you know, how do I label this person? So I decided to just call him the Gamble Thug from The Dark Knight. Obviously, I'm talking about the making the pencil disappear, motherfucker. You know, it's a cool scene. It's a fucked up death. I think I talked about this on our favorite movie entrances before, where, you know, there's certainly the argument that the opening scene in The Dark Knight with, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stranger is the Joker's entrance into that movie. And then there's like kind of like the shot on the security camera and the scene following that. But, you know, his real entrance is, you know, when he just walks into the room, you know, there's like this room full of criminals, and he's like, ha 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 ha, I think my jokes are bad. And then, you know, Gamble sends his dude to go get him. He's like, a magic trick, and stabs a pencil into the table, and the guy's running up to him, and he's like, I'm gonna make this pencil disappear. Guy gets up to him, slams his head into the pencil, probably, you know, jamming it into his fucking, you know, eye socket, killing his ass. I mean, it was just like a, ooh, it's like one of those deaths that really hurt. It's like, you know, a bolt erect moment. You're like, okay, what the fuck am I watching? And it was like, holy crap. And it's a good one. I had to get it on here. To me, it felt like a number six, number 10, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit more length. So I stuck it on my number six, and I like that one. So it's my number. I chose the Gamble Thug for my number six.
I think you nailed it on the head there with the it's that holy crap, it's a holy shit death, you know. You're like, you're watching that scene and you're like going, okay, I'm gonna do a magic trick, and then he does that and you're like, oh damn,
yeah,
okay then.
We're in for something here, and I don't know what I'm gonna think about it. it's a fun one, so I had to get it on my list.
Nice.
So, all right, moving on. What's your number five?
My number five, I had to go with an iconic one, and it's the death of Kane in Alien. The chestburster scene in Alien. I mean, you watch anything about that movie, and you know that's what sold that movie. It's what got that movie made, was this chestburster scene, is this whole chestburster concept. And talk about, you know, changing film genres right there is you have this amazing cathartic death in the movie of this character Kane, who you know something is going to happen to him, but you're not exactly sure what you think, you know, and
you're like, oh,
then in the middle of the movie,
you know, and like
an alien bursts out of his fucking chest and you're like, holy shit. And especially the first time you see that, it just really blows you away. And even today, it's something that just, you know, it just, you know, bugs your eyes out of your head. And but especially back in 1979, that was something you're like, holy crap, you know, you don't see stuff like that. And talk about a death you just cannot escape, you know, and this one was definitely the epitome of that. The movie's full of fine deaths, but this one is the one you distinctly remember.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chris Perrin, we've had on the podcast a handful of times. I mean, he doesn't even like talking about it. That and the face huggers, he just, you know, they just really fucking, you know, wig him out. And, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, if a little goofy, little rubbery thingy can, you know, creep somebody out. We gotta do it, man. We gotta honorably mention the scene in, fucking Spaceballs, because they got William Hurt in there, and because he popped out and did one froggy evening, you know, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, hello, my rag.
Yeah, yes.
I'm sorry. You don't like that movie? I thought that was pretty fucking funny. That,
well, and he goes, not again.
Not again. I mean, and that was what was so fucking great about it is because they brought back, is it Will? Yeah. Is it John Hurt? John Hurt.
Yeah, that's one.
John Hurt, yeah.
Yeah,
that was just a fun little thing. We got to honorably mention that in there. We can't talk about that. Okay, moving on. My number five is one. Oh, my God, we're going to get another comic book death in here. This is weird because, you know, comic book movie deaths are not typically known for their zing, for their, you know, disgustingness, because most of these are PG, PG-13 rated, so you can't get away with a whole lot of holy shit moments. And this isn't really a holy shit moment because it's one that more, it spoke to me at the time, and at the time I was 10. I'm going to be talking about the Joker's death in the 1989 Batman. I went through this thing after that because if you guys you know, jump in the Wayback Machine and you remember that scene, he falls off the building and he fucking hits the ground, and there's this wonderful shot, and you know, I'm all kinds of out of character tonight, Ethan, because I'm talking about this movie in a positive light. And I'm going to be talking about Tim Burton in a positive light because, you know, I don't do that ever. But, you know, there's this wonderful shot of when Vicki Vale and Batman are coming down, and you see all the helicopter lights, you know, doing that. It's a pan down to him, and, you know, you can see him just crushed into the fucking sidewalk, you know, like an outline of his body and everything. And just like that creepy ass laughing, the laughing, it's just, it's a crazy fucking scene. And I remember, like, you know, after that, when I played with all my action figures and I killed, you know, Shredder or, you know, whoever I was fucking killing, I knocked them off of something and they broke into the ground really bad because I thought that was badass. And yeah, then, you know, we got to throw into there, like, the scene leading up to it. They're up there on the he's trying to escape. Batman shoots the line around his ankle, and then, you know, ties it to the gargoyle, pushes him off, and Joker's trying to hang on. He's like, well, might as well just kill myself. And it's a cool death. Meant a lot to me when I was 10. It probably wouldn't mean a whole hell of a lot to me now, but like when this movie came out, it was pretty fucking cool. So number six is Jack Nicholson, the Joker death, 1989 Batman.
Do you remember that one? I remember that whole business. And yeah. I remember that his fall was actually animated. It was a little animated shot. It was kind of weird, but that scene was impressive, and it was still holding true to the whole Batman mythos, and that Batman didn't actually kill him, he did try to save him, you know. And it was very cool.
Yep, cool. All right, that's my number five. Moving on to your number four, right?
My number four. My number four is, I think, a huge epic cinematic death. I have something with deaths in the 70s, but it's Sonny Corleone in The Godfather.
Good one.
Unstoppable fucking force of Sonny Corleone in this movie. It's played by James Caan. You know, kicks the shit out of his brother-in-law with a trash can lid, and, you know, he's just this fucking menace, this huge, just incredibly giant, you know, character in this movie. And the only way that they could kill him, the only way you could see have him get gunned down, is to be completely gunned down. And it was, you know, Tommy guns and just hosing the crap out of his car. And of course, he doesn't go down easy. They have to pump bullet after bullet after bullet into him to get him to die. And, you know, especially back then, that was not something you really saw. And I remember seeing that scene in Sonny Corleone, and this is sort of the scene that brings Vito back into the picture because he's been recuperating.
Yeah. I love and that scene Sonny, so much.
Sonny dies in this scene. I remember the studio didn't want to film it, and it was just ridiculous, you know. And you have this just gruesome, just really visceral death of this character that really you've grown to love. And I just remember watching this scene and seeing this force of nature go down and just going, yeah, that's about how he'd have to be taken down.
Through that after that scene. Like, there's no way, but yeah, maybe.
yeah, and it's a great scene. It's a great death. I mean, and obviously that is what that's the huge turning point of the movie, is that scene. And you know, the war sort of ends after that, and then, you know, many years later, Michael remembers all this, and he goes back and gets everyone, you know, and says, well, you know, I let you live this long, and now it's time to get payback. And we'd grown to love Sonny, and by that point we're like, yeah, those motherfuckers need to die for killing Sonny. So yeah. Sonny Corleone,
good job, good choice. It didn't even occur to me, because I don't know, that's a good one, fucking awesome one. Moving into my number four, I mean, you had a very so far you've had a very like over the top, you know, like, and I'm like, oh fuck yeah, that was awesome, zillions of bullets, and you know you have these really freaking these just fist pumping ones, like, and that are just tropes of movie history. And I got one I'd be goddamn surprised if anybody but me remembers from my number four, because it was in a scene of a lot of deaths, and like, and people have argued with me that some of the other deaths were more remarkable. But for whatever reason, this one spoke to me, and I don't know if I ever got into this with Ethan, but I got into it with some other people, and they're like, you're nuts. Yeah, what I did is I went ahead and I grabbed 2005 King Kong, The Death of Lumpy. Now, Lumpy was a character played by Andy Serkis. He was that salty sea dog cook guy. And The scene where he died was a scene down in the bug pit. You know, the infamous bug pit that was cut out, that was notoriously cut out of the original version, and because it was too goddamn scary, and they ended up putting it back in here. And so the way it showed up in this one, there's a scene where they're running away from Kong, and they're trying to cross over a ravine, and they then like one of the guys gets killed and, you know, knocked down the ravine, and then they're trying to cross over on a log, and Kong gets a hold of the log and knocks it off, and they all fall down there. And, you know, so they get down to the bottom of the pit, and, you know, there's the kid. I don't remember who played the kid. But, you know, his friend died, and so Adrian Brody was, you know, consoling him and hugging him. And then Lumpy's friend died also. And then there's just they ended up lighting a flare or something, and then all these, you know, these big fucking bugs. You know, they're like, you know, bugs you see everywhere, but they're big. You know, like the size of, like, Rottweilers and stuff. And so, you know, they start going after the people that fell. And they were, they start fighting all the different bugs, and people are falling left and right. And Lumpy is in there fighting, and he's got a machete, and there's these things that just look like big fucking slugs. They look like every slug you've ever seen in your life, but they're big, or maybe even leeches. And he starts fighting with them, and he's chopping them up with his machete. And then, you know, he goes to get one, and one of them wraps around his arm, and the other one goes up over there and gets his other arm and pulls it down. And then a third one comes from behind him, and it just grabs onto his head, and it just starts going down over his head, just like this whole, like, almost reverse spaghetti noodle thing, or like going over his head. And he starts screaming, right? He's like, ah, ah! And then, like, as the thing goes over his head, you know, it muffles the scream. So it's like, ah, 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 ah! And it was just, and do not get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. I understand that I'm, you know, talking about, you know, one death of many, but for whatever reason, and I shit you not, that fucked me up for days. I had nightmares about that. And I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I'm not scared of stuff. I'm not trying to be, you know, brave here, but I'm just not that guy. And I literally had nightmares about getting eaten by slugs. Whatever it was about that just resonated with me. It could be some sort of, you know, problem with me mentally, but whatever reason, it fucked with me. And I've seen it since, and I think I've come to terms with it. I think I'm pretty safe not getting eaten by these giant slug worm things. But for whatever reason, when I saw that movie, that really fucked with me. So it's my number four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all right. You don't really have to add anything, because, you know, I'm sure you don't remember it. Most people don't, but for whatever reason, it nailed me.
I don't think I've seen that movie since it probably came out. So, but bad. I vaguely remember that. But
okay, all right. Moving on to your number three.
All righty. All right, my number three, and. I did have to throw in one lighthearted one here. I had to throw in one, you know, kitschy one that speaks to me. It's the death of Mr. Kinney in RoboCop.
Which one's Mr. Kinney?
Kinney is the guy who gets up to do the demonstration with Ed 209.
Okay, yeah. That's a good one. That's a real good one.
And of course, he gets up there and he points a gun at Ed 209, and Ed 209 snarls at him, says, please put down your weapon, et cetera, et cetera. And then he throws his gun down, and then Ed 209 still insists that he has a weapon and ends up shooting him. Mm-hmm. Now, in the director's cut scene, there's longer. A few extra seconds of film of him just getting shot. And it's that he gets shot, falls back onto the model of Delta City, and Ed 209 just continues to shoot him. And to me, this if you just took a little this little scene here, it sort of is what RoboCop, you know, sort of was. It was overkill. And it was good overkill. It was a great movie. And this scene just sort of shows you everything, because you have all these businessmen in there who are really not too horribly concerned about how this one guy is now dead, especially the CEO, who just sort of sits there, and he's more upset that the machine isn't working.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, one of my execs has now been horribly murdered in front of me. Well, I'm going to go to the executive washroom.
The over-under is going to be on this.
Exactly. And it's just this great little segment of what is sort of at the heart of RoboCop. And it's that overkill, over-the-top, crazy-ass violence. And that scene is very memorable, and I love it. And just that Mr. Kinney getting his horrible you know, shit blown out of him. It's in that scene, they just put more and more blood packs on him. And yeah, it had to end up my number three.
It kind of fucking cracks me up that you're like, I'm going to be all lighthearted with this choice. Like, do you remember that scene where that guy got turned into fucking Hamburger Helper? Like, not lighthearted, but I get what you mean. You know, that's a good one. That's a real good one. I think we should honorably mention all the failed RoboCop 2 prototypes. Those kicked ass.
Yes.
You know, stop roll shoots, drop roll shoot, and shoots, blows his head off. I always loved the one where he walks out all triumphantly and then rips his fucking head off when he's trying to take off his helmet.
Uh-huh.
Cracked me up. Yeah, the RoboCop's got some crazy fucking violence in it, and that's a good memorable one. That's a real good memorable one. All righty.
Yep.
Moving on to my number three. My number three is one that, you know, maybe I could have saved, maybe I didn't need to, but it's actually going to be one that I could probably do an entire list of, and that would be the Disney movie villain deaths. So, you know, I could probably do a list of 10 of those, like in order, you know, down to the fucking nastiest. But I decided I wanted to go and grab the one that I felt was the nastiest. I remember the year. I don't care the year, but it's Ursula from The Little Mermaid. That was a pretty nasty animated death, I have to say. I don't know if Ethan remembers it. I think most people would. You know, Ursula, you know, you got the trident. She made herself really big. She's a big-ass sea monster, and she's out there raining hideous death and shooting lightning out of her eyeballs and all that good stuff. And then Eric is, you know, there on his ship, and it's about ready to get taken down. And, you know, she's, like, shooting it with lightning and hitting it with the trident and, you know, breaks off the mast. And, you know, she's about ready to just rain hideous death on him. And he goes and gets to the steering wheel of the ship and just throws the rudder and it swings it over and just rams a shattered sea mast through her fucking chest. I mean, it was pretty goddamn nasty. It would have been nasty in, I don't know, I mean, it would have been really nasty in a live action movie, but just something about it being animated, it was just worse. I mean, because, you know, you're talking a, what, fucking 50-foot pole or something like that. And, you know, it's not even, it's not like it's a pointed pole or anything like that. No, it's broken. So it's like this violent, broken thing being shoved through her chest, and it's just like, god damn, this is a kid's movie. So,
yeah,
I picked that one for my number three.
That's a good one. That's a pretty gruesome one. I haven't seen that movie in forever, but the I do distinctly remember that scene, and that was a pretty badass death, quite frankly.
I challenge you, and you're probably going to get the option, especially with the kiddo and whatnot, but I challenge you to watch this again as an adult. Obviously, you're like roughly my age, and I'm sure you saw this when it came out, and you're like, yeah, it's kind of neat, but you know, it's a girl. Watch it as an adult. It's actually a very excellent, very excellent Disney movie. So it's a good one.
No.
Alrighty, Ethan.
I've got nothing against the movie.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, I didn't either, but I just saw, like, you know, I like The Lion King better and this and that, and it just blew my mind how much I did end up enjoying it, watching it as an adult. Okay, moving on to your number two, Ethan.
My number two is a simple yet startling freaking death. It's the death of Jack Vincennes in L.A. Confidential.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
You remember that scene?
Of course.
That scene, you're sort of watching it, and then suddenly he you're like, well, wait, what? Yeah. He fucking shot? What? Hey, wait, what? That son of a bitch.
We talked about this one on the show before in the past. I said that, like, yeah, you know, it's one of the most believable deaths I've ever seen on screen. You know, if I had not seen, you know, Kevin Spacey in movies since then, I'd be like, they killed Kevin Spacey for this role. I mean, rather for this scene. And yeah, it's shocking and all that stuff. You know, like, one of the things that I walked away from it with was like, God damn, that was like a, that was a chilling, realistic death. And then he had the fun little Rollo Tomasi, you know, play into there too.
Yeah, exactly. And just, I just remember this scene, it just startled the shit out of me when I saw it. You know, it's like, it comes really out of nowhere. You're not expecting it. And then it's also the big reveal as to, oh, okay, so he's a bad guy. Gotcha.
The bad guys. And again, I mean, something about this list is bringing up the honorable mentions in me, but, Can we also honorably mention Chief Dudley when he gets just fucking shot in the back at the end of the movie? Uh-huh. He's just like, God, you know, by the hero cop, by the sparkly cop, he just gets shot in the fucking back holding up his gun, and it was wow. No, I love that movie. I absolutely love that movie. Good death, a memorable one. Okay, moving on to my number two. Before I get into it, I want to play a little bit of word association with Ethan. Ethan, I'm going to say a phrase to you, and you're going to say to me what comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to say to you, please depart my aircraft.
Get off my plane!
Yeah, I'm going with Ivan Korshnov from Air Force One. You know, the death in itself, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, My mom has actually complained about it before. He's such a nasty guy, and you know he got off too goddamn easy. But it's a cool fucking death, you know, because they're fighting on the what do you call that thing in the back of the plane? But they're fighting on there, and you know, the kick-ass Harrison Ford president, you know, wraps the fucking, you know, parachute thing around his neck, and he just looks him straight in the eye and, get off my plane, pulls the ripcord, and you know, catches the wind and just rips him out, gets caught on a thing on the way out, breaks his fucking neck, and he's just like, ouch! But it's like that punctuation. It was the punctuation of the thing getting caught, you know, and just like that snap. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh. But yeah, and you gotta give props to the get off my plane part too. So I picked that one for my number two because, you know, I had to have it in here.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I recently actually watched this movie not too long ago and entirely was impressed by that death. Was actually I think pretty nasty, not bloody, not uber violent, but I mean,
still,
damn,
he's still pretty fucking dead though, isn't he?
Dead is dead, right? So very cool.
Alrighty. At this point, we're going to be moving on to our number one favorite movie death of all time, or at least the one that's resonating with us at the moment. Ethan, what's your number one?
We seem to be on a Harrison Ford binge, I guess, those last two. But my number one is Roy Batty from Blade Runner. It's, of course, the Rutger Hauer character, and his death is neither violent nor is it bloody. He just sits there in the rain and stops. It's with Harrison Ford looking at him very awkwardly.
Yeah.
It's one of those scenes in an absolutely fantastic movie. Obviously, you know, it's one of my favorites. Where you're really expecting this whole scene leading up to this part is quite violent. I mean, it's Harrison Ford gets one of his gets his fingers broken, and the Roy Batty's running around basically, you know, kicking the crap out of him, doing his thing, and he has him completely at his mercy, saves his life, sits there, holding the dove, and then just expires. Yep. Just dies. And he dies before he can kill Deckard. He, you know, entirely has the timing and could do it. He just doesn't.
Yep.
He lets him live, and just so he knows that this is, you know, like everything is I've been alive for 5 years, and this is, everything is washed away like tears and rain. And just this great scene where you have this really poignant moment, this great, this great catalyst to basically this end of this film, and you have Roy Batty finally dying, the big bad guy who's been killing people throughout the whole movie, and you expect him to continue doing this, but he instead shows that it's like, yes, we are big, nasty, and bad, but you know, I guess I have to accept what's inevitable, and that is, I could kill you, but it's not going to change the fact that I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And so he expires. It's done. It's a beautiful scene. Obviously, it's one of my absolute favorites.
It's a good one. I think, you know, you're absolutely right. I haven't seen this movie in far too long. This is one I need to pick up, like, the big fancy-ass Blu-ray set of, because, you know, I don't do anything if I don't go, you know, full tilt into it. But, yeah, that's a good one. I think it's kind of funny. I do think that we ended up walking into this with two completely different ideas of what we're doing here, because you went with beautiful and poignant and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and... You know, then you're mm-hmm. right. I mean, it was a beautiful, poignant moment, and it is dealing with like the, you know, what is the humanity, what is humanity if a replicant can, you know, at least approximate it and understand it and value life and so on and so forth. You know, for mine, I decided, good for you. You went with poignant. I went with fucking hilarious. And it's not necessarily the death itself, but it's more the scene leading up to it. I decided to just grab a fun one, one of my favorite ones. The first time I saw it, I about had a fucking asthma attack laughing so hard, but I chose the death of stuntman Mike from Death Proof. I mean, come on. Oh my God. Don't get me wrong. And of course it's Tarantino, so blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I was enjoying the movie, enjoying the character of stuntman Mike. He's kind of a dork, whatever, leading up to it, but kind of a badass too. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, he's certainly being a terror. You know, they showed him kill the fuck out of the four girls at the beginning of the movie, and you know, he's an obviously, you know, he's a menace, he's a threat. You know, you damn near killed Chloe Bell Zoe Bell, and the whole thing's going on, and then they kind of get the upper hand on him, and they T-bone his car, and they fucking break his arm, and they shoot him, and he is just wailing like a bitch. I mean, I would love to approximate it, but I'm not going to, because I can't sell it. I seriously think that this scene should have got fucking Kurt Russell an Oscar nomination. It was awesome, and it's fun to watch the special features and stuff like on the DVD or that Blu-ray, because, you know, Quentin Tarantino is just all like, you know, it was kind of there in the script, don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, it had, you know, he was seriously worried about what had happened to him, but Kurt took it and just took it to this whole new fucking level of just wailing like a bitch. Oh no! Oh God, no! And just the whole thing, and they get a hold of him, and he's like, oh come on, don't hurt me! And then they beat his ass to death. I mean, they just kick him and punch him, and then they ended up, very last shot of the movie is, what's her face? A beautiful woman. What's her name? Rosario Dawson just driving her boot heel into his face and killing his ass. But this is why I swear to God, I had problems breathing after that happened in that movie. I was laughing mm-hmm. so goddamn hard. And this is an interesting one for me. This is a different list for me, because 9 times out of 10, when I hear a list, the first one that pops into my mind is my number one. You know, it's like that. And this was actually the last one I chose. It just didn't occur to me. I was sitting there and, you know, working my way through it, and it actually didn't occur to me until like 45 minutes ago. And I've been working on this list for a couple of days, but I fucking love Stuntman Mike's death. I mean, you can say what you will about the movie. First, you're probably wrong if you're saying anything negative about it, but that is just fucking gold, and it's kind of underrated, I think. I mean, it was a great fucking scene, and it was a good performance. You know, uh-huh. It's not Shakespeare, but it's just awesome, and I loved it, so I picked it for my number one.
Oh no, I love that movie. Entirely love Death Proof. It's great. I've got it on Blu-ray. It's fantastic, and we've talked about it before, but just that pretty much sold me on that movie was when he becomes a whining, sniveling little bitch. And it's so out of place, but it was one of those Tarantino fuck yeah moments. You know, he has one of those moments
in a different way, but it was kind of like the pencil scene in The Dark Knight, because it makes you set up and take notice. Like, yeah. What? You know, in The Dark Knight, you're like, oh my God. And this one, you're like, he's just an idiot. Yeah. You know, but no.
He usually has these moments in his movies. The other one that readily comes to mind is when Inglourious Basterds, when they kill Hitler.
Yeah.
And it's that. Yeah, I'm making a. I'm doing a fun movie. Kiss my ass, and this one is like, damn, I didn't expect that to happen. That's awesome, you know. Bravo to Kurt fucking Russell for actually doing it.
Oh God, he turned it up to 11. Yeah, it was actually funny. It was I was working my way through it through this list, trying to figure it out, and you know, I was trying to figure out what I was going to have on here, and I said something about Marvin's death from Pulp Fiction. I'm like, nah, that's just too obvious for me because I'm the Tarantino guy, and I'm like, oh god, I have to have Stuntman Mike in here. Fuck me. So I gotta get Tarantino in here. So I picked Stuntman Mike as my number one because it cracked me up. So
that's completely okay.
Alrighty then. So I guess that's this part of the list. Why don't we do our rundown to stick a fork in this bitch and kill it?
Alrighty. Well, my number 10 is my cop out. It's the end of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where you don't actually see them die, but fuck you, they die.
Yeah, they die.
My number 9 is Tom Powers in Public Enemy.
Ah, yeah.
Because that actually cracked me up a little bit. I've seen that movie. Just saying.
I didn't know you've seen that movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah. Where they drop him off at his doorstep and he is all wrapped up and just falls face first and he's dead. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. That's
historic.
My number 8 is the death of Little Bill in Unforgiven.
There you go.
Like, I didn't deserve this. Deserves ain't got nothing to do with it. Boom.
Yeah.
Love that scene. My number 7 is apparently going 1970s and westerns here. It's the end of the Wild Bunch, and they just go down in horrible bloody mess. Obviously, my number 6 was Boromir in Fellowship of the Ring. My number 5 was Kane in Alien. My number 4 was Sonny Corleone in The Godfather. Number 3 was Kinney in RoboCop. Number 2 was Jack Vincennes in L.A. Confidential. My number 1 was Roy Batty in Blade Runner.
Very, very good. All right, my list. My number 10 is going to show my lack of research. I didn't want to do the research. I didn't care enough. But it's a movie that I'm not particularly fond of, but it was a death that resonated with me. I don't remember her fucking name, but the blonde chick in The Matrix, the first Matrix, when Joey Pants like went rogue and he was over there unplugging everybody. Mm-hmm. And there's that blonde chick, I think she wore all white, and you know, like he's going around unplugging, and when they get unplugged in The Matrix, they just die. And like, you know, she's just sitting there looking at Neo, she just looks haunted. She's like, no, not like this. I don't want it. And then he, you know, like mid-sentence, pulls out and she dies, and it's chilling. So I picked it for my number. I picked it for my number 10. My number 9 is Carl Showalter from Fargo. That's Steve Buscemi's character. Again, it's maybe more the aftermath than the actual death itself. But it, you know, him getting shoved into a wood chipper. Something about me and wood chippers I find to be comic gold. So I had to get that one in here. My number 8 is it's a more recent movie, and it's, you know, again, it's not too showy or anything like that, but it's more the circumstances, and it's the it's the circumstances, and it's more the franchise that it's in. I'm going to be talking about the death of Silva in Skyfall. The Javier Bardem character. I like it because, you know, you have James Bond. It's supposed to be a sophisticated, you know, whatever killer, you know, shoot him with a silenced Walter PPK, you know, and, you know, no, he fucking throws a goddamn rusty knife in his back. And you're like, yeah, damn, what's going on here? And so we got that one, Silva from Skyfall. And then number 7, it's a new one. It's a movie that just came out last year, just came out on DVD yesterday, Django Unchained. I picked the death of Miss Lara. Bye, Miss Lara. Shoots her, goes, boom, flies out the back of the door, just cracked me the hell up. And then, remember that one? That was a good one.
Yeah, and then, I do.
Then there's the list we already went over, The Gamble Thug from The Dark Knight, The Joker from Batman, Lumpy from King Kong, Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Ivan Korshnov from Air Force One, my number one favorite memorable movie death of all time, a Stuntman Mike from Death Proof. And
excellent.
Boom. Fun list. I figured we'd have some fun with that, and it seems like we did. So, it was fun talking about movie deaths at this point. Before we go, do we have anything we need to pimp, anything we need to shill for the Nerdvana Network? What's going on there, Ethan?
No, not much right now. Things are sort of in holding pattern until I get moved. CantCon is still going on. Pre-registration is live. You can go pre-register for pre-register to attend CantCon July 5th, 6th, and 7th here in Overland Park. Pre-registration is cheaper than buying a ticket at the door, so just FYI on that. That's pretty much it.
Project Uncool, still ongoing, still doing fun stuff there. Haven't written my review of my case yet. I need to do that. It's actually on my plan for tomorrow. Got all kinds of good stuff going on. And, Nirvana Network is going on, good stuff happening there. And I think we are going to be in kind of like a flux pattern. We got good content going out now. We got this show. We got, Gamers Haven podcast. We got everything. And I think after you get moved, we're just going to open the floodgates and have some really cool stuff.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
I have no idea what we're going to do next week, but that's not like us. We don't like planning ahead, at least not yet. So I guess unless you have anything else, that's going to do it for me, Ethan.
I think that does it for me.
Okay, well, I guess until next week, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
That's your key. Take my hand, don't feel the reaper.
podcast was cut by Uncool Aaron.